Welcome to the Oleander Sunset Podcast, and I'm your humble host, Eddie McGee. This is episode 8, and we will call this one Platonic Friendships. Let's be clear. I'll start this off hot and spicy. Do I think men and women can be friends? Absolutely. I genuinely do believe we can be friends. But here's the issue. I think we've diluted the word friend way too much. We use friend out of context so much. And that's what's destroying female and male friendships. Now, a lot of men get blamed for it, basically stating like, oh, men are the ones that want to have sex. It's ridiculous. And, you know, they're the ones that this and that. First of all, the average relationship between men and women is either sexual or pursuing some type of romance. That is not me making it up. That is a actual fact. Most relationships are not platonic. And when I'm talking about a platonic relationship, I'm talking about when you are a friend to a woman, that is a very special situation because you are valuing her heart, not her vagina. And it is a great responsibility as a man to, you know, I'm not saying be a role model like you're her dad, but you need to be a decent example of what a man is. So when she's going through things, she can come to you as a man and y'all could talk and have a conversation, right? And that's missing from society. We use the word friend out of context way too much. I've had a situation before where, you know, a young lady had introduced me to her boyfriend. They was out somewhere. It's like, oh, it's my friend Eddie. And he doesn't know I used to fuck her 6 months ago. No disrespect, but I don't think we're exactly friends if I was fucking you. This is why it's important that we need to stop diluting the word friend. We use it way too much. It's no different than a dude that got all these girls around and a woman is just like, what the fuck is this? That doesn't make that woman insecure. She has the right to have a heightened sense of wondering what's going on. Why are these women? And why are these women got? Why do they got big booties? Why are they so attractive? That does not make her insecure, because a woman with a big booty that's pretty like that is not going to be hanging around some dude with a girlfriend. And to be real, I'm not just going to put this on women, because I think a lot of people, a lot of men and women are morally bankrupt. There's nothing stopping women from fucking somebody's husband or fucking their boyfriend in today's world. They do not mind it. They'll hang around and smile in your face and then go right in the back room and fuck that dude. They do not care. So this is why a lot of friendships have been diluted. I think it's important as men and women that we learn how to stay within a real friend situation. We have to be real friends as men and women. There are some women that are like, oh, he's my friend. But this is a dude that just gives her validation and attention. He's not really a friend. He's a guy that's hoping for a vulnerable moment in your relationship so he can try to fuck your girlfriend. That is not her fucking friend. And a lot of times these women, they know that. And a lot of times these men, they know that. And it's disgusting. See, me, I'll be very blunt. I have probably about three very platonic friends. However, they are strictly like, they're like my sisters, right? We don't talk as much these days. And I think the common denominator within all three of them is that they found relationships that they've been in for a while. And it's not because, I don't think it's because they just stopped talking because, you know, I was after them or they were after me. We was close. They come over my apartment, you know, we just talk, eat, laugh, whatever the case. It was never no touching, no inappropriate conversations about sex, nothing. I value their heart, not their vagina. And I took it serious. And it hurt my feelings, especially with one of them, because she got married and we don't ever talk. I called her and I don't get my calls returned. I would text her and I get the text returned either at the end of the week or not at all. And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. You know, and my thing is, I've just been too scared to call her out on it, because if you can't be my friend and you don't see how that's hurt, like how that's affected me, then I'm just going to leave you alone. And there could be an insecurity from her husband. Maybe he feels that he doesn't want any men around at all. There are some men that are like that. Like, I don't care how close you are with him. I don't want him around. And you know what? I don't want to always call men like that insecure. There is a certain insecurity there. But since this is a very nuanced conversation, I think that as people, if we meet it, let's say we meet a woman and she has a platonic friend that she's known since elementary school, get to know him. I say you get to know him because that friendship has been in place way before you got there. So don't jump to be insecure right away. Get to meet him. Watch how they interact. If it's innocent and it's kind, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with a woman who has had a friend for a long time that happens to be a man. That's perfectly fine, in my opinion. But if it's a dude she only known for 2 years, no. And by the way, I don't think that you should give her an ultimatum. Like, if you either stop talking to him or you deal with me, nah. What you do is you just break it off. Because if she is hell-bent on keeping someone around that has an inappropriate relationship, that's never going to work out for you anyways, man. You might as well cut her loose. You know, vice versa. Ladies, if you feel like there is an inappropriate relationship going on and you don't think you can handle it, cut it off. Because what are you going to do? Waste fucking 3, 4, 8 years of your life? And then you just found out they was fucking? You might as well cut that shit off. It does not make you insecure. Okay? It's, to me, I'm all over the place, but to me, it's just crazy to me how we use the word friend so much. Like, and I think that since we're in a generation of people who are so morally bankrupt, they'll be like, hey, you know, this is my ex, but, you know, we're still really close. We're really good friends. You know, we're very mature. We're over all of our drama. Let's be very, very clear here. I don't believe in those friendships. You can call me insecure, but when you go from being a romantic partner to just a friend, that's weird to me. I'm sorry. It's weird to me. It's not the average relationship. Can it be possible? It could be possible in a very low percentile. We're talking about 8% of the time that a person is in a sexual relationship, emotional, romantic relationship, and be reduced down to a friend. That works about 8 to 10% of the time. The rest of the time, it's a fake friendship relationship. It's not real, man. I don't trust people that much. How do you go from fucking each other to giving each other a high five? That just does not add up in my book. It just doesn't add up. That ain't it. I'm not with that at all. You can call me some type of insecure or whatever you want to say. Hey, man, I'll take that label all day. I don't think it's appropriate for men or women. Or to be a situation where you used to fool around with somebody. Look, man, we're all adults. So let's cut through all the bullshit and the lies here, right? Nobody's all that celibate. People are having sexual relations. So cut the bullshit. Now, these people that we have dealt with in the past, right? It doesn't mean you can't be peaceful and you can't be cordial. But if you're fucking somebody, right, and you guys are pleasing each other, that's perfectly fine. But what you've done is you've created an element of where a friendship can't really survive in that type of scenario. Because if either you've literally once you've chosen a woman's vagina, she is no longer your friend because you've infiltrated that friendship. What did I say at the top of the podcast? If you want to be friends with a woman, you have to value her heart, not her vagina. Once you've had sex with her, it doesn't mean you can't be kind, you can't be respectful, and that you can't, you know, that you can't value that person anymore. It just means that you've kind of infiltrated that friendship. It's just not, it's it. And we, as men and women, we know that, like, you guys know what the fuck I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? We've all had relations. I said relations. We've all fucked with somebody for a while. And we see him out and be like, hey, how you been? How's everything going? Blah, blah, blah. But I'm not looking to fucking go out and, you know, play tennis. I'm not looking to go play beer pong with somebody and have them around my actual girlfriend and say, hey, this is my friend. The woman that I'm dating is going to know that I used to fuck her. The energy is always going to reveal itself. You cannot do that. You cannot do that, man. It's kind of selfish. It definitely is. Now, there's going to be people that say, like, there's people that are going to fight tooth and nail and say, if you can't have females as friends or you can't have males as friends, it speaks to your immaturity. That's a bullshit statement. Anytime someone says that, I need you to go back to reality. What is reality, folks? Reality is most men and women are not platonic friends. They're not. And also, in a, if, let's say a woman says, well, I don't think that way. Let's be very clear. Let's say you don't think that way. You might have a lack of recognizing that the men that are masquerading as your friends, they just want to fuck you. Have you not paid attention to what they're doing to get your attention? Have you not paid attention to how the subliminal advances they've been making towards you? Don't be in the dark. Don't be blind. Okay? Understand that although you may, in your mind, you may not think like we could be friends, stop labeling these men who are potential. Even if you don't like them, that doesn't mean anything. At some point, you might have to let the dude know, like, I don't see you that way or whatever the case. Or just reduce your time around these men. Men that really want to be your friend. I'm talking about men that really want to be your friend only. They will show it through actions. They will show it through actions and deeds. And they will literally, it will be more of a brotherly or cousin type or big uncle type energy around these men. But a dude that's just like, yeah, I think we should go to the like go to the beach alone. Like me and you should just, you know, do stuff. That'd be cool. Yeah, we should go have a picnic, have some lunch, you know, be good to spend some time together. Stay away from these fucking guys. Stay away from these fucking guys. They just don't got the balls to really tell you how they feel about you. Deep down inside, they probably are in love with you. And then you're here's the thing. This is no slight to women. Women will be hanging around a dude that's fucking in love with them. The dude is obsessed with them. And you'll be like, oh, this is my friend Juan. This is my friend Jeremy. Like, Jeremy is fucking foaming at the mouth. What the fuck are you doing hanging around this guy? What are you doing? Wake up. That motherfucker doesn't want to be your friend. Get away from him. You don't got to be mean to that guy, but you need to look at his intentions. If that motherfucker, if that guy's not really got his heels dug into being a brother to you, that is not your motherfucking friend. I don't want to have a circular conversation and keep saying the same stuff, but come on. At some point, we got to stop being so fucking naive, man. Stop being so naive, right? Yeah, I don't know if I could say anything else about this conversation. I think I've pretty much got everything out off my chest that I needed to say. I just think that in 2024, we need to learn how to manage actual, like we need to learn how to properly define what friendships are. And as long as we can properly define what these relationships are, I think we'll be fine. And I think that not only that, I think it's going to help us in our other relationships. If you have strong friends, good strong friends, they create the momentum and they create the standard that you will have in a romantic relationship. So I had my same best friend, my homie of 23 years. You know what I'm saying? That's my brother. You know what I mean? And you know, we have a very close bond, and I have a couple other very close friends. And I feel like those friends are valuable because the type of energy and respect that we have for one another, I expect that from my romantic relationships, meaning as far as whatever it is, like as far as being honest and being kindness, all that stuff. I tend to expect those things from women also, right? And if that's not what I get from it, then I have to remove her. And I feel like if we don't have strong, real, genuine friendships, that's one of the reasons why we don't have very good relationships. Because if we can't define who we spend our time around the most, and we got friends that you're falling out with this person one week, and then this person you got an argument with, and then now you guys are friends again, and then anybody that has inconsistent and decent friendships is going to have a hard motherfucking time if they find somebody that they say that they, you know, love. I think it's impossible to love somebody if you don't have an example of a loving relationship outside of just a romantic shit. So there's that. We'll go ahead and move on outside of that. switching, well, not switching gears. This ain't a Trucker's Mind podcast, so we got to move on from this one. the next topic, how to handle a bad day. I think a lot of times when we have a bad day, we just self-sabotage, man. We're like, fuck, this is fucked up, man. Oh, this is bad. I'm having a fucked up day and this and that. This is what I do. Whenever I'm having a bad day, what I tend to do is just, I start to just really find a silver lining in everything. Like at first I'll be mad because I'm human, right? I had a real long day at work yesterday and it was kind of frustrating, but I started to tell myself like, hey man, look, at least you're being compensated for this, right? You're going to be compensated well for it today. All right. Well, that doesn't matter. I'm being compensated well, but you know, it's still a long fucking day. Okay. Well, at least you're being compensated. There's somebody that's not being compensated. They're not being, you know, they don't even have a job, right? There's always something you can lean on during a bad day. You know, let's say you have a awesome girlfriend at home and you're having a fucked up day. Hey, at least at the end of the day, I get to go home to somebody I care about and that cares about me. I get to go home to a hot meal. You know, hey, she said she made me lunch. Hey, you know what? I get to go home and my girlfriend just texts me. She's going to give me a blowjob as soon as I get in the door. That's a positive, that's a positive silver lining, decent situation to have during a bad day, right? By the way, if you got a girlfriend that's texting you, she's giving you a blowjob, all that bad thing that's happening during your day, that just got erased. Okay? Look, man, a blowjob deletes everything. It deletes everything from the bad day. You get messages about head, man. I think that might just redirect. That might just reverse engineer a man's mind. Like, oh, I'm so mad. Oh, this is, everything's going. Everything, the world's crashing down on top of me. You get a message from your girlfriend. Boop. I'm sucking that dick when I get home. When you get home tonight. Well, that was a manly voice. I got to make it more feminine. When you get home, I'm sucking that D. And you're like, oh wow. I feel like all the Earth's problems have just been lifted from my shoulders. Let me finish this long 13, 14 hour day and go home to a peaceful BJ. Right? Yeah, that was just some satire. Anyways, look, you also have to say this. Look, this is the one that I use the most, right? If I'm having a terrible day and I look at the time and let's say it is 10 p.m., right? And I'm like, fuck, man, this has been a fucking long day. It's been inconveniencing. I'm going to say, hey, you know what? There are 2 hours left in this day. And I'm going to make these 2 hours the most pleasant 2 hours that I can have. And the rest of my day is going to be fine. Because I'm going to make it that way because I said it's going to be that way. And it's going to be a good day because I fucking said it. That right there is powerful. And then here's the highest level of really searching for like the silver lining of a day. If you're having a really fucked up day, things are absolutely terrible. You say, you know what? Tomorrow, I'm going to go to sleep, right? And tomorrow, if I wake up, if the Lord has blessed me to wake up, every day above ground is an amazing day. That is the highest level. Gratitude is the highest fucking level of dispelling and just pushing away a bad day. We're alive, man. We're alive. We are so thankful. I don't want to get super biblical or anything, but we're very blessed to even be here, man. Yeah. And also, too, having a bad day is not a license to be disrespectful to people. When you're having a bad day, your day is bad, not anyone else's. So learn how to also control yourself. I know it's tough sometimes, and I know it's unfortunate, but you gotta maintain your integrity and sanity. I remember after my dad died, I went to work, and I was really sad, man. I was really sad. It's my father, you know, and even though I felt sad and, you know, I felt like I had I properly mourned. So, man, I cried for almost 2 weeks straight, you know. But even though that was my case and my story, I was still cognizant enough to realize that my dad died, not yours, right? That is still my issue. It is my issue for me to bear. And I still don't have the right to project my sadness or my anger or whatever I'm feeling in that moment. I don't have the right to vomit that onto anyone else. So learn how to own your bad day. There are so many people that are like, I'm having a bad day, so fuck the world. It's like, don't punish the whole world because you're having a bad day. That's bullshit. Who the fuck do you think you are? Who do you think you are, man? That's kind of crazy, right? Like, hey, I'm having a horrible day. So since I'm having a horrible day, I'm going to give myself the right to project that on the other people and be mad at them. Like, no, man, that's not okay. That's definitely not okay. Okay. I don't know how much more I can say about this. Like I said, I like to keep these podcasts very brief, you know, just give a brief message to the people. I know some of you guys are, so a lot of people are not set up to listen to long form podcasts, and I'm learning that. So I try to cram as much information or thoughts within a 20 to 25 minute episode. But yeah, I don't have much else to say about that. I hope you're having a bad day, but if you are having a bad day, I hope that this episode and this segment allowed you some perspective on how to deal with that, man. You know, the weekend's coming up. Some of you guys, you're going to have the weekend off, you know, and go into the weekend and have some fun, right? Have some fun, maybe have a drink or two, or, get with family and have a barbecue. You know, watch a movie, watch some Netflix or something. Maybe watch a bad movie. I don't know. Just take the time to find a way to channel some of that bad energy into something else. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and end it with this one here. I have a new segment that I'm going to basically implement into the podcast. We'll call it a nostalgia moment. Okay. I don't know how old everyone is, but a lot of you guys that listen to this podcast, you're in your 30s. So I got a moment of nostalgia for you. All right, here we go. It's 2008, right? It's 2008. And people have TVs in the headrest of their cars and ain't nobody sitting in the back. I'm so glad that God delivered us from that situation. Everybody was acting like their car was on a fucking episode of Pimp My Ride. That was a wild time. A bunch of people had fucking TVs in the headrest with no one sitting in the back seat. And I guess that was a flex. Oh, here's the worst one. The spinning rims. Oh, my God. That was a rough fucking time. Those spinning rims, they look absolutely terrible. Oh, man. What was hilarious, too, is during that time, you know, I kind of blame Pimp My Ride for around that time, because that whole TV headrest shit, it started from Pimp My Ride. They put the most unnecessary bullshit in the back of those fucking cars. They'd be like, yo, Emily, yo, this X to the Z exhibit. And I know you like to be an artist and you like to draw. So what we did is we put TVs in the headrest of your car, and then we put a Picasso in the back seat. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe you guys. It's like, it's so fucking stupid. They put an aquarium in it. I'm just like, dude, like, this is terrible. The worst part about that show is when you follow the stories of these people, those cars are inoperable now. They're fucked up. They don't work right. And then on Pit My Ride, they never changed the motors out. So they left the same raggedy motors in these cars and none of the cars work. They also used to fabricate the stories. One dude had a girlfriend, right? He was kind of a little bit of a heavyset guy. And they made him out to be a loser. Like, they was like, yo, this is my man. This is my man, Jaime. You know, he ain't got no girl. He trying to get his girls right now. And, you know, his car's beat up. So let's pimp his ride. And it's like, bro, this guy has a girlfriend. Like, he's in a happy relationship, but you made him out to be a loser. Like a loser that can't get any girls just so you could fucking put just so you could put spinning rims in a fucking TV in the headrest of his car. That's terrible. There was one girl that was from Bakersfield that got her car, like she got her car done. And she had a twin sister. I used to work with her back in the day. But they did the most unnecessary shit. I think she had like a Volkswagen Beetle. It was just the most pointless stuff. And a lot of times when they would like reveal the car to the people had to act excited, but you could tell it was just a fabricated response. It was like, yo, 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 we put a flamethrower in your car because we heard that you a DJ and you make hot samples and hot beats. So we put a flamethrower in your car so you could go ahead and shoot a flamethrower at these fools. I'm like, come on, man. What's that black guy's name? Big Dane? Yo, I'm Big Dane, man. I'm Big Dane. I put a bomb in your car because your car is the bomb. But don't pull out that pin because it's going to blow up. You're like, come on, dude. Why'd you put a fucking grenade in this guy's car? This is insane. But yeah, man, I'm so thankful that we've been delivered from that situation. I might need a little help with this segment. I might need a little help with it because I'm going to come up with a bunch of nostalgic moments. But I might be a little bit older than some of you guys, you know, at 30. If you're in your 30s, then really we're not that far. We pretty much all seen the same shit. And if you're a little older, you remember it too. That's one. Let me see if I can pull another one out of my ass. Those TVs in the headrest, that was a very fucking weird time. What was another moment of nostalgia where we all kind of, let me give it about 8 seconds. If I can't come up with something, I got one. This is nostalgia for all of us, and I'm going to end the fucking podcast with this one. Cafeteria food. Cafeteria food is the thing that gives me the highest level of nostalgia that I can ever have, because it's something about that cafeteria food that just tasted so fucking good, man. And growing up in the 90s, we had some really good items. I say favorite for us was those Red Baron pizzas that came in that plastic bag and had a little square pepperonis. See, you guys don't know about those fucking square pepperonis. They tasted different, man. We ain't talking about the traditional red pepperonis. We talking about the fucking cafeteria, super hot pizza that came in a plastic bag, right? And we were eating all those goddamn chemicals. But the pizza was worth it, man. We ate a lot of chemicals back in the day. I don't know who else remembers a Fruitopia. Man, that was an amazing drink. I don't even know what happened, man. But Fruitopia was an amazing drink. Amazing drink. What about those little ice cream cups that came with a wooden spoon? Do you guys remember those? You guys remember those? It's a little cup of ice cream. Sometimes it was like strawberry and vanilla or chocolate and vanilla and had a little wooden spoon. Did that just take you back to the fucking fifth grade right now? Do you feel like you're sitting in class with that desk that flips up? We all remember that fucking desk, right? That desk that you sat down in. You sat down in it, and then it had a wooden flap that you flipped it up, and it had all the compartment space inside. Yeah, that was an old desk. Anyways, let's go ahead and wrap this up, man. If you made it to the end of this episode, man, I genuinely appreciate you guys checking out the Oleander Sunset Podcast. I'm your humble host, Eddie McGee. You guys have a blessed weekend, and be safe, and enjoy. Oh, fuck. I'm sorry. One last thing to put on your mind before I get out of here. Do you remember those peanut butter and jelly graham cracker wafers? That right there is the highest level of nostalgia. It was like a graham cracker that had peanut butter and jelly in it. And for some reason, it was always kind of cold. But oh my God, like I don't even fuck with jelly like that. I like peanut butter, but I don't even fuck with jelly like that. But this thing here, oh, man, it was well-equipped. All right, well, you won't hear from me, okay? I'm done. I'm done here now. Thank you for listening to this episode, and you enjoy the rest of your weekend. Peace.